one of the things that God wants us to know about him is that his will is perfect. Whatever he wants is perfect. And one of the things that allows us to understand that Jesus is a man is found in the 26th chapter of Matthew. And in verse 39, this is in Matthew. It's found in Luke, and it could be in Mark, I'm not sure, but this little session. And it says, he went on a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed. And he said, Father, if it be possible, meaning what? If your will could be changed or altered, or changed a little bit maybe, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Done. Finished. That's it, isn't it? So then he rebuked the disciples because they had fallen asleep on him. And back up on in verse 42. Now this is, several verses later. He went away again and the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. Well, okay, except it. Where did I see this? Well, you know what? I was about to tell you something that was wrong here. But the point that I was trying to make is that Jesus had his own will. It wasn't that his will was always different or was always exactly the same. The difference, the thing that made Jesus the exception was that he always surrendered his will to the Father. And this is the thing that God wants us to come to. I have a will too. So do you. And I have had some promises of things to come, where we're, God's gonna, I've seen him in dreams, and it's inside of me. I know that something's going to happen. The strange part about this whole thing is, I have seen some real phenomenal things in over my 50-some years of Christianity. I have never, ever known ahead of time what was coming. I was surprised on every single thing. Well, the thing is now, God wants to do whatever he does his way. And what he wants us to do is to be comfortable with it. Don't get ahead of him, to as many as are led by the Spirit, not to as many as lead the Spirit. They are the sons of God. And so God wants us to go by his timetable, his leading, whatever he does. That's not as easy as it sounds. Because we are human. And we do, from the scriptures, I understand certain things. One of them is, Jesus performed signs and wonders and miracles and things. But we see, and then he preached. He got their attention, and then he preached. Paul said, when I came to you, to the Corinthians, he said, I didn't come with enticing words of men's wisdom. I came with demonstration of the Spirit and power. For what reason? So that your faith would rest in the power of God and not in the wisdom of men. But then he preached. And so there is a reason for some of these things. But you know what? The flesh wants to emphasize these things. the signs and the wonders. That's what the flesh wants, because that's who we are. That's what we're like. If we had these things happening, we would have the opportunity then to preach the gospel. You'd think God would know that, wouldn't you? But you know what? In the fullness of God's time, God does exactly the right thing. And I am beginning to come around to that position in my life of understanding. And the older you get and you still haven't seen what you think is coming, you know what I mean? There's a chance, there's an opportunity to be impatient. But we can't be. What is happening here is phenomenal. And the Word of God is not as open in a lot of places as it is here. We have an opportunity to hear the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit interpret it for us. We have that opportunity. We don't have to do that, but we have an opportunity. And what that does, it sets us up to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be. Somewhere I saw in here, it said, and he went away and prayed the same thing again. And, but you know what? Maybe I didn't really read that. Maybe I thought I did. I can't find it. But anyway, it's okay. But the point I wanted to make was that Jesus did have, Jesus was a man. He had his own will, which I said, it's like he didn't have his own will, but he did. He was not a puppet. If he was a puppet, that would not make him a redeemer. It would not make him who he was. He had to willingly submit. And you know what? That is what God is looking for. See, to obey is better than sacrifice. There's a story, and I won't drag this on, but there's a parable that Jesus gave. And he said that this fellow had two sons, and he wanted to help him out in the fields. And he went to the first one, and he says, would you go out in the fields today and help me? And he said, I'm not going to. And anyway, but then later on he repented, and he went and worked for his father. And the second one, he said, would you go out and help me? He said, well, sure, of course I will. But he never did. And so then he asked in this thing, he said, well, now which one of them loved his father the most? I would say the second one. But not really. The one that said, I will, or I won't, but he changed his mind. See, and this is what pleases God. It's not our flesh and the crazy things we do. It's our willingness at some point to do what he wants. And we are flesh. And I wish we weren't, but we are. Well, I don't say I wish we weren't. What else would we be? But anyway, somewhere I thought it said that.
But if that doesn't show his humanity, I'd like to know what it. Yeah, I'll read it. It's in Matthew 26. And starting I'll start in verse 39. It says, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground. This is the NIV I'm reading. And prayed, my Father,
If it be possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to the disciples, found them sleeping. Could not you men not keep watch with me for an hour? He asked. Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went a second time and prayed, Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. So prayed three times, you know. And kind of suggesting he wasn't happy with what he got the first and second times. So, but you know, we don't know what he was praying for. You know, we don't know what was in that cup that he was asking. Hey, for all I know, it was that he would spend eternity in hell. That may have been what was in that cup. You know, and it may be that the Father answered his prayer. And some, you know, we just don't know what was in the cup. We kind of assume, since the things that happened to Jesus were really bad, that he his prayer was not answered. But we don't know that. We don't know that. And it's funny, the things that the Bible doesn't tell us. You know? The things the Bible doesn't tell us are in some ways as spiritually significant as the things that it does tell us.
I thought it was in the fifth chapter of Hebrews. I'm not sure, but I can't find that either. But anyway. I'll tell you what the thing is. You can maybe help me find it.
He was heard in what he feared.
Yes. Where is that?
I don't know. I've been looking too.
Yeah.
But I know it says it somewhere.
Yeah, it says that that he was heard in the thing that he feared. And it's like, you mean that he had a fear that he might not make it? You know what I mean? And and of course, the word fear could not mean, could possibly not mean what we, as we take it to mean. And I found it. It was in the, yes, yeah, in the fifth chapter. It's in verse 7. In the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. What happens, and this is a vital, vital issue, the thing is, by not, or by taking the humanity away from him. And see, that is what people don't understand it. And somebody told me, I don't know if we were talking one day, and they said that that people say, almost all of the churches, they say, well, he was born a man and became God. You know what I mean? He was born a man and was and through some kind of osmosis became a god, you know, or something. But John, in the fourth chapter of 1 John, and he says that every spirit that confesses that he came in the flesh. And then, you mean, then he left it? Then the flesh is gone? Well, of course, the flesh, in the days of his flesh, we just read that in Hebrews. But the thing about it is that other people who died as men, remain men. So did he die as a man and then become a god? You know what I mean? See, that is the way that it is. But you know what? By us removing the humanity, we take away the very purpose that God brought him forth. The humanity and the things that he suffered and the things that he went through as a man is what gives us our eternal life. I mean, he did that for us. It's an issue. And that's what I'm saying. So we have to get the understanding that Jesus was a man, is a man, always will be a man. He's going to return. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? 1 John 3:2. It has not yet appeared what we're going to be like. But when he appears, we're going to be like him. It's like he's either going to be like us, like a man, he's going to be a glorified man, or we're going to be gods. It's going to be one or the other. And so this is an important thing for us to understand. I am so glad that the humanity of Christ issue has become so vivid, so strong, and whatever it be. I am so thankful. Is it going to be expensive? Oh, sure, it's going to be. Truth always is expensive.
Kind of the Keith and Charlie show this morning, isn't it? You know, what Keith just said is interesting. Either he's a man or we're going to be gods. You know? And it brings to mind that scripture where Jesus says, don't you know that the scripture says, ye are gods? You know? And the scripture cannot be broken, you know. So, and then you're objecting because I claim to be the Son of God, and the scripture says ye are gods. We have a hard time knowing what exactly to do with that, you know. But I think at least it suggests that whole question is fuzzy. You know, it's fuzzy. The whole notion of be ye filled with the fullness of God, that sounds kind of like God, you know. But that's what Paul asks us to pray for ourselves, you know? Being filled with the fullness of God. I guess I'm thinking what that is a man who has a whole bunch of God in him. But if someone calls that, you know, a fulfillment of the prayer, ye are as gods, then, I don't know. Anyway, it's, again, we try to get it just right here in the natural, and it ain't going to work. It just ain't going to work, this whole notion that we have it, we get it down pat. And get it nailed down and get it all neat and tidied up so it falls within the frame. That's not going to happen.
You had your chance. I want to comment on something. something else from what Charlie just said. If we look back to the book of Exodus, and I'm not exactly what verse we have here, but when God sent Moses to appear to Pharaoh and to do the things that he did, you know, all of these signs and wonders and so forth, he made a statement. He said, "You are going to be as God to Pharaoh." And the thing is, okay, there is one God, one awesome, awesome, supreme being who has made everything that exists. If he wants to call you a God, you're still not equal to him. He made you. And if he wanted to call anybody else a God, he called Moses, he said, "You're going to be as a God to Pharaoh." And there's several other places. It seems like that Aaron was going to be as a God to Israel, I think, or something. And but it's going to be as a God. You know what I mean? And so God has made us so, okay, in the new dispensation, when the new heavens and the new earth and all of these things, and we are his sons and daughters, and you know, of course, we won't be sons and daughters. We'll be whatever. We'll all be the same. But I think, I don't know. I haven't seen that yet. But anyway, he could have us as something that he considers a God. You know what I mean? But we're still not the same as him. So when we have the co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent, co-thing, we got a problem. Because we have no support anywhere for anything like that.
Well, I just continued reading in Hebrews a little bit. And, you know, nowhere does it ever say that a priest is God or that God is a priest. Right? It says he appoints priests. He appoints men in the Old Testament as priests. And even though Melchizedek sounds like he's not a man, it keeps saying that he was. Even though he had no lineage or whatever, supposedly. But, so it says that Christ will be a priest as unto Melchizedek forever. Forever. So, then you look up here at Timothy, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, what, is that just his memory is going to be a mediator? No. He's actually mediating. Always. I mean, and I've been calling on him for it, you know. So, yeah, it's... But, you know, if you don't have, I mean, the whole key is the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you lose track of what's spiritual and what's flesh. And you just start filling in and making up because you just can't conceive, you know. Or you get impatient and don't want to wait for truth, so you make up some truth. Well, which is not truth, it's a lie. You know, It's kind of funny, when you really stop and think about it, you know, how we've been on this truth thing for so long, and I've said this to myself, I don't know how many times this, well, if there's truth, then what is the rest? It's a lie, or it's not truth. There is no in-between, you know. It either is truth or it isn't. So that means it's false.
you know, or it has no bearing, it has no foundation for anything, you know, if you're trying to base something on truth. And when you read through there, like if you read in chapter 7 and into 8, it keeps talking about, you know, that the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever. So he made him that. You know, like Keith keeps. And that's the whole point. When you go through and you're reading all this, you can't get away from all the references to made, sent, appointed, you know. And Christ, that's what he was, you know. And then you tie that all in what was just brought in the beginning in the garden. And he's a man with a will, you know. I think he knew what was in the cup, in a sense. Because he kept telling the disciples before that he was going to have to die. You know? And now, well, I suppose the part of the cup, like, I kind of thought, too, that he felt like he was going to have to go to hell for everybody else. And, I mean, that would make you sweat blood. I can't imagine that. I cannot see me doing that. No matter how much I love you guys, you know. I mean, that's just not right. I wouldn't want to do that. Lose myself, you know. I mean, think about that. So I think that was kind of the big, and he kind of knew that he was going to suffer, and because he knew it said, he knew the scripture which said he was going to do that in the Old Testament, you know, in the different places. And in Isaiah and stuff, where it says they'll be scourged and, you know, beaten and whatnot. And I think he knew, you know, because he had the Spirit, that was a prophecy of him, you know. So, and to know, I mean, and when he cried out on the cross, "Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know, I think God, to just show how this son was so, I think he actually pulled back for whatever moment, second, whatever, completely pulled back his presence from Jesus. You know? And then the minute he died, he knew immediately that he was going to be in glory, you know? Because then he comes back. And so, now, so, Jesus died, was buried. Says that constantly. So then why did he come back as a man if he's already going to be a God? You know? Why did he come and visit as a man? And why did, I mean, you know, so that we're just going over things that we've seen, you know, countless times. But, I mean, it keeps coming from different points of view, and you start looking at priesthood and you look at the other descriptions of him, and they all start pointing to the same thing, you know, that he's a glorified man, which we're all going to be eventually if we end up in heaven, you know, in his kingdom, in God's kingdom. And then if you go into Revelations, the Son of Man is going to return. He says, "I'm going to return as the Son of Man." He states it countless times. And why would he be saying that when for the second coming, that it's the Son of Man coming? You know, if he's God. And so, it's just, and it says, you will see him. See, that's the other thing that always comes into this. What is God? God is Spirit. You can't see him. Why can you see Jesus? Because he's a man. So, you know, and it says we will be like him and we will rule and reign with him, you know. In 1,000 years, it says, you know, all those, whoever it is, and I'm sure the disciples for sure are part of that, will sit on kingdoms or sit on thrones and rule during that, you know. And I don't think that's, you know, it's kind of interesting. It sounds to me like that's still on an earth basis. Yeah, but without the presence of the devil. And so it looks like they're going to come back and be in a bodily form and be ruling, you know, and us with, or whoever, you know. And it doesn't sound like that's just, you know, spirits floating around somehow, you know, ruling from the heavens. That wouldn't make sense, you know. So you know, all those, that stuff's a little foggy, of course, but at this point, for me it is anyway. But yeah, so anyway, there's just, I mean, this, every time I look at that, it's just 1 Timothy 2 there.
It's just, how much plainer can you say that?
You know?
It doesn't tie up very much. Anyways, you know, we have a, you know, we die, and then we go to heaven or whatever happens after that. And the scripture over here shows that our bodies right now, you know, this, our flesh and bones, whatever, is a seed. And then this seed becomes this amazing thing. Think of any seed planted, you know, pumpkin. Plant the pumpkin seed and it grows into this huge thing. The same with our bodies. This, what you're looking at in the mirror, is just a seed. It's just a seed. Some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? See, what body do they come? So it kind of goes along a little bit here, but it's a foolish one. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. So you sow a pumpkin seed and you don't get a pumpkin seed. You know what I mean? So when this body dies, you don't get another one of this. You know what I mean? But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. To each seed. Now we are seeds now. It's somebody as He pleases. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, and other flesh of animals, other of fish, and other of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from one another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in uncorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became living, a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit, and so forth. This is 1 Corinthians 15. I don't know if the spiritual body is right now, or is it in the real dead. Anyways, I present you with a seed. This is a seed. And if you compare a seed with what a seed becomes to, that's really something to look for. Mm-hmm. That's really something. Really something. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine. Imagine Adam. Oh, he's got a seed. He's never seen anything. Okay, no, Adam. Who knows? Anybody in the desert. A seed. Tell him, hey, this thing is going to grow up to be 100 feet tall. Fruits and this big around going up. It's inimaginable. So it's our, whatever we're going to be like. It's inimaginable. Anyways, is Jesus, does he have the new body now? I don't know.
There's some speculation as to this rain or so forth, and I'm not sure that it's going to take place in this present earth, because if California is right, we're going to have global warming that's going to end us, you know what I mean? I'm teasing. Because, anyway, God is in charge, and he can create whatever he needs in this earth to keep it going another 1,000 years. And so, at least in the winter, huh?
Right.
But, yeah, God's nature is creative. As such, we are called new creations. And so when we get saved, and the thing about it, you know how Peter makes this statement, he said, we are being born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God. And so what is happening, and this is where people make a big, you know, a big failure, because we need to be created, recreated, we need to be created into the new creation through the process of this word. That's what this word does. It creates, it is creating something in me that has never existed. And, you know, it says this in 2 Corinthians, I think the 5th chapter. It says, we are new creations in Christ. New creatures, it says in King James, but in other translations, new creations in Christ. And so we are in the process. See, the thing is, while we're right here and while we have the Word, and when we take in the Word and when we let the Word work inside of us, it is creating us into whatever it is that God has in mind. So if we don't have access to the Word like we do, and we're hearing false doctrines, see, everybody is being born into something. I was being born, I'll say this real carefully here, and cautiously and respectfully, I was at one time being born into the Catholic, into the Lutheran Church. I was, by their doctrines. And except for some things that happened, I mean, the mercy of God, but except for some things that happened, it was hard for me to pull away from it. It was a part of my system. I didn't have any other background, you know, to speak of, but it was part of my system. And then what happened when I got saved, filled with the Spirit, a real pull, drawing towards the Word of God started to take place. Until I read the Word day and night. Those are in the days that, you know, Jerome was healed and things started to happen. Because faith comes by hearing. Even in an immature state, I didn't know a lot, but something told me that if I want to, you know, and what it did, it separated me from the Lutheran doctrine. Because I was a part of it, and I started reading the Bible, and I said, this isn't in the Bible. And when certain things started to happen, this pastor, Larson, I told him, I said, some of the things that are being taught aren't in the Scriptures. And he says, yeah, he said, I know that. I mean, he's just a sweetheart. And so I told him they wanted me to teach some things to the high school students in the Sunday school. And I said, I can't do it because I can't go against the Bible and teach that. And you know what he said? I wouldn't either. And so he took the curriculum that I had, and I showed it to him, and he took it and he threw it away. He was a pastor of that church. So does that tell you anything about this man? Does that show you why God set up that church as a place for something to happen? And you know what? We prayed with the man, and he cried, and we prayed with him to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what stood in his way? His wife. Stood there like a wall. and he couldn't get beyond it. He couldn't get past her. But who knows what else would have happened, because the prophecy said, if you let God do what he's going to do, you're going to have a mighty move of the Spirit in this church. He knew that. And it was a hard thing for him to when he began to realize that the thing is falling apart. Because the other part of it was, and if you don't, it's going to be the end of this church. And it was. And I don't know if they still blame Joanne and I for that today, but for a long time people blamed us for what happened. So what do? You go with God, or do you... Well, you know. Anyway.
I used Kleenex as my bookmark. Okay, so... I didn't hear all the testimonies this morning, but this is something that I kind of wanted to share, because, you know, we live an earthly life and we go through stresses and anxieties and worries and things, and some people realize that they're an anxious person. You know, if you ask Susan, she knows she's anxious, she knows what anxiety feels like. If you ask Pablo, he thinks he's not stressed, but when you start unraveling his mind, he's on... six people he has to care for, deer hunting and the next job, and we're leaving for 3 weeks and to go to Chile this Christmas, and what will we do for work, and Dominic's tuition, and you know, it's like, he actually, if he talks it out, he actually is anxious, he is worrying about things, and it does a lot on your system. And the last couple weeks has been a lot of different things, and this week Dominic was sick and I couldn't nurse him back to health, and you know, everybody knows what life stress and worries are, and sometimes it's easy to bottle it up, but when you do find great relief telling somebody, you know what, I've been thinking this, or I'm anxious with this, it's good to kind of let it out. A spiritual person especially, so that they can give you wisdom and guidance, and there's always a scripture to back up what you're wanting to say. But I read this Philippians, a couple months back, and this morning I was listening to a song, and they combined the Philippians with something in Isaiah, and it was like, when we go through earthly pains, fears, anxieties, it's all matters of our mind and of our heart. And I believe that when the word talks about mind and heart, it's human mind and heart, and it's heavenly mind and heart. You know what I mean? Like, our heart can be where our heart is at, and our heart can be how it's pumping blood. You know? Anyways, Philippians 4, 6 through 9, and I remember I read this before, but be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that's an important scripture. That was a big thing when Pablo was going through the muscle thing with his leg when his mom was here. And it was like that. That's verse 6. And then it was, verse 7 was good. And then verse 8 is, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. So, jumping back to verse 7, which I skipped over, is a lot of times we pray and we want God to do things for us and keep our minds and our hearts, everything, but we're not letting our requests be made known to God. That has to come first. So we sometimes bottle it all up. And God knows everything. So God knows that you're feeling this or stressed about this or anxious about this. Yeah, he knows, but he wants your request to be made known to him. He wants you to say it to him. So it does not say, And the peace of God, which passes everything, will guard your hearts and your minds. And then let your request be made known to God. You have to, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, physically, emotionally, earthly, whatever, and your minds through Jesus Christ. So let your request be made known. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart, your mind, from anxiety, from panic, from worry about tomorrow, because today has its own worries. And this is for all of us. We all go through this, even though we don't realize or that it's not a thing that we recognize. And then Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. If our mind is on God, what's the opposite of peace? I mean, if our mind's not of God, on God, what is the opposite of peace? Yes. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So that means tomorrow, today, 2 minutes from now, yesterday, all the things that you have to do in 3 months and whatever, if you are on all of that, you're not in perfect peace. You are only in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on God. You have to keep your mind on him because you trust him. And everything else will happen. It will flow. You know what I mean? I was talking with Pablo this morning, and I told him, he's like, well, I don't feel, you know, he's been having some different things in his chest. And I told him, I said, I don't feel like I'm a stressed person or anxious, you know. He goes, but I do have a lot on my mind, you know. And then he started rambling about six deer stands and then James and Brittany and then all of this and whatever, and should he go up on Friday? And I'm like, you know what? You've already done this before for a lot of people. You know it's all going to happen. We can't worry today about if Thursday is going to work out or not. Because today, I'm telling you, as a mother of six people and a lot of grandkids, if I worry about 7 weeks from now or 3 days from now, I don't even have enough worry for today. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I have to take it day by day. And some days, that's what I do. You know, Susan knows. Somebody will say, oh, you know, maybe we could do lunch Thursday. Mm-hmm, maybe. But if I get a call, you know what I mean? And so I can't. And my plan all the time is, especially now when I went through my health scare a couple of years ago, is like, I hope Thursday I could go for lunch with my mom and Susan. I hope that today I make it to Walgreens to work for 2 hours. I hope that Tuesday, you know, all of those things. However, I want my mind so set on God that if I walk out of this building and I drop from a heart attack, I'm going to heaven. That is where my mind needs to be, and everything else will fall into place. Because if my heart and my mind is not set on God, that's where worry, stress, anxiety, and no peace will prevail.
You know, like Kenny said, you know, I have been, my mind is just very busy. So super busy. I know that God's word is spirit. But like I said, you know, God only wants room for him. And when I listen to the scriptures, sometimes I just can't because I need to be aware of my surroundings or the music is loud, but I'm most, 9 out of 10 times I can listen. Anyways, but a few times lately, my brain is so contaminated, I don't know what the word is, so occupied. I'm listening to the scriptures, and at the end of the day, I didn't feel like I listened to the scriptures because my head, it's just so attached to my body. And I know that God, you know, that I understand very much so that God's word is spirit. But, you know, all this occupied thing, my brain, that's also a spirit that fights, you know, that fights. And I don't want that. I don't want to, because if that was just the case, I could take a Bible, a little tiny Bible, put it in my pocket, go all over the place, and because that's God's word, you know, same thing. No, I am. So, you know, anyways, I wanted to share that, you know, we read the Bible, we listen to it. But somehow we need to ask, make a request known to God that when we do, that if it does what God wanted to do, you know, for us powerful. God's word is created heaven and earth, okay? God's word can do whatever. However, if my head or if I'm not there, God's, he does not have to. God wants no competition. God wants no. Is it all of God or none of God? So, anyways, I'm going to pray at the end of the day that I want all of God. I don't want most of it. If there is such thing as most of God. It's good to pray for Jeffrey too, for sure. And other things, whatever.
As I was listening to Pablo, I realized, you know what we have to do? We got to go back and go over the basic elementary thing again. Your intelligence, your fleshly mind is not going to hear the Spirit. So just because your mind's all wrapped up and you don't think you, then see, that's where we're mistaken. And I get the same way. Because I'm thinking, God, I am just, I got him playing, but I'm doing it. You know what? The Spirit goes by all that to your spiritual mind, which is not the one that you're normally always thinking with. I mean, see, if we say it has to come by the Holy Spirit, then our flesh has nothing to do with it. As long as we say, but we want to hear from the Spirit. You know, we make the decision. So that's why we're listening. So, you know, I know exactly where you're coming from, you know, because, but I've kept saying, Lord, if it's by your Spirit and it's playing, then it doesn't matter what I'm doing. You can still be putting things in me. And you know what? You may not see. Sometimes we're listening during the day, and by that night we think we should have all kinds of truth. No. It might be 2-3 days later. It might be when you pick the word up and want to read it a little bit. All of a sudden, it's alive. You know? And all of a sudden you see a truth that you didn't know. It gets stressful, it gets frustrating sometimes because of our weakness, which is our flesh. But God goes by all that when He ministers with the Holy Spirit. And so as long as we're obedient and believe that He can be giving us truth at any time, whether our mind is hearing it or not. See, our mind has nothing to do with it, our fleshly mind. That's why I say, not one ounce of your intelligence is going to get you to heaven. You know, it's a glorious thing because it makes everybody even if they want to be. If they want to rely on their intelligence, they lose out, you know, which is what a lot of the church is doing and what we did. You know, look back. It wasn't, you know, it was, you know, because Keith always says and he was an intelligent man, you know, Don Burnett. But that worked into it. Then pretty soon it was his own thinking some of the times that was coming through and not the anointing. And so, and we're all guilty of that. You know, we are. So just kind of go back and get refreshed again about how that Holy Spirit ministers. You know, that you can be in chaos and everything else, but if you got that word playing and you know that the Spirit can minister through it, it will. You know, you just might not see the fruit of it right away. Because I don't know how many times I've been listening and then one morning I get up and say, well, I think I'm going to read, you know, and all of a sudden here comes this truth that comes out, you know. All of a sudden this scripture points to this scripture and you just get a glorious piece of truth, you know, which probably was something I heard days earlier, you know. So let's, by faith, believe we're hearing, you know.
Up. Yeah, I wanted to just say something in connection with all this, with what Pablo had to say and what Candy had to say, because I firmly agree with all of what she said, with scripture after all. And just because you're feeling a certain way doesn't mean that that's the truth. So just because you felt like, I was listening to that Bible all day and I may as well not even abandon, it didn't do me any good, doesn't mean it didn't do you any good, which is what Ken was saying. On the other hand, it's not works and all of that, but we do have a will, and that's where Candy was saying, in our will, so is that will somehow in your mind? Somehow you have to go click in your mind, make a decision. And so I'm just going to tell you about me. There will be times, I mean, a lot of times. And, you know, it's like you're up against a wall, you're up against a wall, you're up against a wall. You've been doing all the things you know to do and blah, blah, blah. Well, a lot of times at that point, it has to be, God, you trying to show me something? Is there something I'm supposed to be doing different? Do I have a sin that I should be dealing with? Things like that. Or sometimes I just need to get away from the world and shut myself aside so I can really just him and me and whatever needs to be done. And so, I mean, there's all kind, you know, it could be any of these things. You got a lot going on in your family and your life, and so, yeah, it's out there in your brain. But God's able to lift you up out of that place, but maybe that's not what he wants right now. Maybe he's wanting you to, maybe you're supposed to really be interceding for one of those things or something. I don't know. I'm not God. But it could be any number of things. And so just because you're feeling a certain way at a certain time about anything doesn't mean that you, A, aren't in God's will, or B, you know, doing the right things, whatever. But we do know that he's trustworthy, and we trust him, and because we trust him, then we ask him for those things. You know, my mind is just so messed up, but I can't get, you know, help. What can I do? He'll get us there. Anyways, I have faith, Pablo, that you're going to give a testimony next week or something that God showed me, la, 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 and, you know, it'll be great. So, okay.
The wonderful thing about the word is, and the Bible says that God said, my word will not return void. And he said it will accomplish what he sends forth to do. You know, that's what's going to happen. Well, as Pablo was sharing, I thought he is saying something that every single one of us is saying. And this is what makes a unique work going on in his body. It's like, whatever, I want God's will and I want to make it. Amen. That's what I could hear him saying. And it's like, you know, I have a new one-word prayer thing that I have been praying a lot lately. You'd never guess what it is. Help! The Bible says we don't know how to pray as we should. I don't know how to pray for this thing. You know, I pray in tongues and I understand that God is, you know, He helps us through this thing, through our infirmities. That's what the Bible tells us. I don't know what the right solution is. I don't know what needs to be done over in this case. But the thing is, I'm beginning to recognize the awesomeness of the one that I'm praying to. I mean, he's building in greatness on a regular basis. We listen to the scriptures. We played them every night or all night long for how long? I don't know what happens. But there are mornings that I wake up early in the morning with some of the most profound things on my mind. And it's like, you know, some of them I bring into the messages. How did God get past everything and put that in there? I don't know. But somehow He does. And so anyway, it's a wonderful thing what's going on. It's wonderful. God is, you know, He's making Himself real. And I'm just extremely happy with my daughter. And she's talking up here. And you know what I heard coming out of Candy? Faith. You know what we face? Everything around us? Impossible. I can still remember the days when the things that we used to have were possible. Nothing's possible anymore. Because God is moving us into the realm of the impossible. With God, all things are possible. So what was happening to us, he's putting us in a place that we have to trust Him. I thought about the Apostle Paul this morning at some point. I thought about a lot of things at different times as people were talking, but Paul was an unbelievable apostle. He was dedicated as a Pharisee. He switched horses in the middle of the stream and became a Christian. Became more so dedicated to Christ than he was before, dumbfounded everybody. And so here he is, and he's honest, you know. In the seventh chapter of Romans, he's honest, and he says, I'm a mess. But after that, we're hearing all of these phenomenal revelations that are coming out of this man and from God. And anyway, and so then he has this tremendous experience, and he's taken up into the third heavens, and he sees things that are unspeakable. He can't even talk about them. Okay. He's one of God's favorites. So God has the devil send a thing that torments him. A thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, he says. I mean, he's God's favorite. I'm not saying he is, but you know what I'm saying? He's a sweetheart. And so here he is. But this is not a problem because he knows. Every time that he's ever had a problem, he's asked and God took it away. So he says, I sought the Lord three times. I mean, he thought after the first time it would be gone. And certainly after the second time. Three times he said, I sought the Lord. And finally God had to speak to him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. You got this to live with. And I don't know exactly what Paul's difficulty was, but I tell you what I think it was. I think it was his eyesight. And I think all of a sudden he started having trouble with his eyes. And because he had to have somebody write some of his letters. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? I don't know that. It could have been something else, but somebody else had to do some of the writing. He said I had to have Tertullian or somebody. No, that's not the right name. I don't know where it came from there, but he had to have somebody else do the writing for him. And but anyway, I'm blessed today. God bless you. It just shows maturity.
I do think that Paul's saying was his eyes, because at some point he says, after he went through the road to Damascus and all that, he's like, he says, my infirmities, and he's talking, I don't know, and unless you would pluck your own eyes and give them to me. So it could have been his eyes, you know. Anyways, there's a scripture that every time I listen to it, it's like, I want to be there. Jesus says, one of the Gospels. Before Jesus went to be crucified, if they could go or whatever. It's interesting how, Jesus says, the hour has come, let's go. He's like, get up, let's go, I gotta get crucified. He's almost, let's go. But anyways, he says, and they sung a hymn, and they went. And every time I listen to it, it's like, I want to be there.
Yes. God bless you.
I want to sing a hymn. I want to sing. Can you imagine? Disciples, Jesus, singing. That's awesome. Anyways, I like, If there was any way that I could, just that we could one day, sometime, just sing. We listen, and when you go to, we went in the past, there was a leader singing, and then we all sing with, whatever, but, no music, I don't know any things but hymns by heart. I would have to read or work on it, but I really like to sing us with you guys. Just sing to Jesus,
Yeah, just sing hallelujah all day long, hallelujah.
Keith started out today by sharing what I fervently have been saying for months, so I felt really, really blessed to hear that, which is, it's not my will, but it's God's will. And literally, it's my way or the highway. To put in today's vernacular, it's God's way or you're wrong. Something else that came up today that was good is there's truth and there's not truth. What's a good word for not truth? I think you're giving too much credit. I would say deception. Did Satan lie to Jesus when he tempted him? No, not at all. He brought him truths, shallow truths. He brought him deceptions. Lack of full truth is deception. Lack of full truth is not understanding. So you either have full truth or you have a partial truth. You have a partial truth, you can be confused, or you can be deceived, especially if you want to bring it hard. Let me bring you what I know, but I don't have the fullness. And you go down this path when you really want to be down that path. My testimony today is how my Lord, my God, loves me so much that he's finding new ways to test me. Last night, my water system failed, so on a night that I look forward to every year where I get an extra hour of sleep, decided that I didn't really need it. So I'm up running the wet vac and trying to figure out what to do and learning where valves are in my plumbing system. And that's because I got up and had to go to work really early and on a night when, I have all of these things going on in my life. I'm here to tell you, I cannot choose those to go away. I cannot make a decision and these problems stop. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't have a problem. Because I'm incredibly capable of making up my mind for things that are good for me. I'd probably amaze you at how good I can think of good things for me to be happening and not have any troubles of the world. So it's just not a matter of choice. You know what it is? It's God's will. God wants my plumbing to have a problem last night. I did not ask for it. He allowed it to happen. It is my life. You know what? I'm happy with that. The win is not being upset with your situation. The win is saying, you know what? Like Paul's eyesight, I'm going to go, you know, this is what God has for me. Am I going to turn and rebuff that? Or am I going to embrace the challenge? So, does my life suck? It depends on who you ask. But I certainly could come up with a better one. Jesus was sitting there saying, Lord, is this really the way? Is this really what you need to have done? And apparently it was. Jesus was pretty good at praying, and he still couldn't get the Father to see his way. If he was trying to, he was really just asking God, is this your will? And God said yes. And Jesus said, okay. Man, that's where I want to be. No, I'm not there. I can stand up for a long time and say, I do not want the things that God is putting in front of me as trials. I don't need them. I think I would be just fine if I had a few less trials in my life. I don't think it would change my love for God. In fact, it might even enhance it, because the natural, I might be able to be brought over quicker.
But those things keep us praying harder.
There is, you know, it does that. One other thought I had, I'm going to do my best, Keith. I'm going to ask a question that's got a tough answer. So, how much do you have to do and know, have a heart for, to be able to perform a miracle? Nothing. It's not whether you prayed. It's not whether you went to church. It's not whether you listened to Scripture. The power of a miracle comes from God. Always. And He decides whether or not you met the bar. And we're not going to figure that out, I don't believe, on this side. One last thought. Why was it that Lazarus was dead for 4 days and Jesus was only dead for 3? What's the significance in that? I'm not going to answer that one. But I will tell you this. It certainly makes it easier to think Jesus is God. He did things that even God didn't do. If you don't realize that it was God doing it in both cases. And in the natural, we like to talk about what we see, not what we know. I am blessed every Sunday from all the things that you share. It helps me every day. Some days more than others. But I see how we have kind of gotten to the same spots. I don't think anybody denies 2 Timothy 5. I don't think any of us go out here going, I don't know what they're talking about. That just doesn't make sense. I think we're all bought it. At least I have. And I think what's important in that is the message behind that is that if you continue to seek Him, you will find Him. you will find him. And we all aren't seeking in the same way, yet we all are finding him. He's allowing us to get the revelation, to get the insight, the discernment that we need. And finally, you know, why is it that we just don't get answers to some of these things? And I like to say, and I'll say it again today, because God doesn't want you to have it yet. And the hardest part of that is you have to be happy with God telling you that what you want isn't what he wants, and just waiting on him. I'm waiting on God on lots of things. The best thing I can do about that is to have a positive attitude, to have a good heart. With all the things that are going on, all the challenges that are of this world, to just face them head on and go, you know, for whatever reason, this is what God wants me to be dealing with. I choose to think that that's probably part of what I need for my salvation. I shared before that if I just was one of those people that never had a lot of challenges in my life and could think that I was kind of steering the boat and running the show, I would not be in the place where I think I would be going to heaven based on what I know today. So God knows that I need a little extra encouragement, a.k.a. challenges or strife or testing. Okay, that's the way he made me, and that's the deal I have. Like Paul, he wishes he didn't have these things, but God allowed him to have them. And it kept Paul. So don't fall into the trap of being brought down by all the things you've got going on in your life. Turn around and flip that and say, this is a challenge that God is asking me to overcome. And then be patient in how long it takes for you to overcome it, because he's still in control.
I just have a quick word of encouragement for you, Candy, and everyone else. There is a season for everything. Right now, you're in a busy season. I've been there, and I've learned, and God used it. I'm in a season now of more of a peace and a quietness. But the things that I learned in that season of busyness are now a blessing. Those things will become a blessing to you. That's what retirement is. A blessing.
Just a couple of statements. This scripture setting that Corky put up here for us a long time ago, it's unique. You know why? Everything in the Bible agrees with it. It's unique for another reason. There's not in anything in the Bible that disagrees with it. This is what the Bible says. That's what it says. I just want to show you, you know, just mention also that how faithful the Lord is. I suspected that some of Paul's problem was his eyesight. So Pablo gets up and he brings us a scripture that all of a sudden I thought, well, of course, that has more weight to what I have been suspecting from other scriptures, you know, where he said, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. And I thought, yeah, there's some more weight. I think that his eyesight had begun to get, you know, was failing him, and it was a messenger of Satan. He probably had, you know, 15 eyesight or something, you know. And up to that point, and all of a sudden now he's like me, without these glasses on. But anyway, what a blessing. Well, why don't we come up to the front and bless you. bless you.